A clue this morning to one of the most serious and least understood implications of the so-called Arab Spring. What will the emerging new government of Egypt's attitude be about its relationship with neighbor Israel? There's a peace treaty with Israel that was negotiated by one military dictator, Anwar Sadat, and maintained by another, Hosni Mubarak. Well, Mubarak's out, and what's next? Well, here's the clue. After a nearly four-year blockade, Egypt has said it will permanently open the Rafah border crossing between Egypt and Gaza. As soon as this Saturday, women, children, and men who are outside of military age will be allowed to move freely into Egypt. Rafah has been closed since Hamas took control in 2007. To examine the implications of this, we're joined once again by Ambassador Martin Indyk, former U.S. Ambassador to Israel and Director of the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning.
So what do you make of this border crossing and the wider implication and a clue, perhaps, to what Egypt's new government might have as an approach to Israel?
Well, the first rule of the Middle East is nothing is what it actually seems to be. So the idea that there's going to be free flow of terrorists across the Egyptian border into and out of Rafah, and that rockets are going to be driven in on trucks in broad daylight is fanciful in the extreme. The Egyptians, on the one hand, have popular pressure that they're dealing with now that the regime has been overthrown, which is very hostile to the idea of blockading Palestinians. And so symbolically opening the crossing is important in that regard. But on the other hand, the Egyptian army, which is in control in Egypt, at least for the time being, and certainly likely to remain in control of national security issues, does not want a massive refugee flow of Gazans into Egypt and does not want Gaza to become a source of conflict again with Israel, because if that happens, then the popular pressure in Egypt is going to be on the Egyptian army to defend the Palestinians. And that will jeopardize the peace treaty and the Egyptian army's $1.3 billion in military aid and its spare parts. I mean, it's a totally American-equipped army nowadays. So it has a very strong interest in preventing the opening of Rafah from leading to the very thing the Israelis care most about, which is that Hamas starts fighting Israel again from Gaza. And the proof of this is that the opening of Rafah gets a small paragraph in the Israeli press this morning.
Interesting. We're talking with Ambassador Martin Indyk, former U.S. Ambassador to Israel and Director of the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. We'll then assess the probability of the following two scenarios, and they may actually be interrelated. Number one, that Gaza becomes some sort of prominent political theater for Islamist groups inside Egypt to portray their power, either by controlling matters in Gaza or just setting up bases of operations. And what is the likelihood that Egypt may have a tool or a lever to pull in increasing the quality of life in Gaza, which could have positive implications for Israel?
Well, I think there are several things going on here, and it's not obvious, but it's important to understand it. The first thing is the notion that, with the border open, Hamas is going to be able to get more weapons is simply belied by the reality that Hamas is smuggling in weapons all the time through these massive tunnels that neither the Israelis nor the Egyptians have been able to stop. So that's not the issue. What's actually going on here is that the external leadership of Hamas, which has been based in Damascus and has taken the hardest line against Israel because it's been under the influence of Iran and Syria, is now moving out of the Iranian-Syrian camp into the Egyptian camp. And that holds the key to a potential shift of Hamas from hardline terrorist organization to pragmatic supporter of negotiations eventually with Israel. That may seem very far-fetched today, but it's interesting that Khaled Mashal, the hardline Damascus-based leader of Hamas, actually came out and said at the unity ceremony of Fatah and Hamas in Cairo that he supported Abu Mazen in negotiating with Israel.
And that's the Fatah leader.
that is the Fatah leader and the president of the Palestinian Authority.
Exactly.
And head of PLO.
Well, before we go then, Benjamin Netanyahu, before a joint session of Congress, described Hamas as the Palestinian version of al-Qaeda. There's a piece in the Christian Science Monitor yesterday that point by point said that is completely absurd and noted that the link between Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood inside of Egypt is actually a moderating influence on Hamas. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm not sure that it's a moderating influence on Hamas or Hamas will be a radicalizing influence on the Muslim Brotherhood. But the idea that Hamas is al-Qaeda misses the point completely. Yes, it's a terrorist organization. Yes, its charter seeks the destruction of Israel. But Hamas and al-Qaeda have been at each other's throats in Gaza, where al-Qaeda has been trying to establish a presence, and Hamas has actually been suppressing it and arresting its leaders because they have a very different approach. Hamas does not target Americans. Hamas targets Israelis. Al-Qaeda targets Americans and Muslims and, you know, as a whole, a much broader ideological focus. Hamas is capable of pragmatic agreements such as the ceasefire that it now maintains with Israel. Hamas is in control of territory and faces the dilemma of whether it feeds the people under its responsibility or fights Israel, and for the time being it's choosing to feed its people. That kind of compromise or pragmatic compromise is something that al-Qaeda has attacked them
Indeed.
And attacked Hamas for.
And we'll see that pragmatism possibly in practice as the Rafah border crossing is opened by the Egyptian government. That's Ambassador Martin Indyk, former U.S. Ambassador to Israel and Director of Foreign Policy Programs at the Brookings Institution. Thank you, Ambassador.
Thank you.